Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, September 18th. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Sam.
Today we have a beautiful beautiful weather outside. It's actually not been too hot, which is nice.
That is
nice.
So
we're getting a nice end of summer. And the days are getting shorter. Did you notice that?
No.
You haven't noticed that?
No.
Yeah, it's getting dark like it's 7 now. It used to be 8.
I don't know where I am at 7. I'll start to notice. Oops.
Yeah, no, when the days get shorter, I notice that because I like when the days are long.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's actually a very beautiful day today. I'm very excited to hike.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm jealous for you going hiking because it sounds so great, you know, in the morning.
Well, right? It'll be like 11:30, so who knows how hot it'll be by then.
That's true, huh? Yeah. But we do have some great hiking places here in L.A., and I want to do more of that, too. You know, it sounds pretty good. Give me some physical activity, and you get closer to nature.
Exactly. Right? I think it's really nice to do either on your own to, like, reflect and have some time with yourself and nature, or to do it with a friend and catch up, and it's, like, a really nice, you know,
right,
positive way of getting together, like versus eating or drinking or coffee. Like,
right.
Hiking's a nice way.
You do an activity together and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there's people that love that. But, you know, we're talking about Runyon Canyon, and it's like almost like the 101 freeway there. So there's so many people, right?
There are so many people there. I mean, it's right. Just the thing is it's probably the most convenient if you live on that side of the hill because there's parking. There isn't plenty of parking, but there's parking. And it's just an easier hike to get to.
Yeah.
Versus some of the other ones that are more like obscurely placed.
Yeah.
You have to drive into the hill and like around and all that.
Right. There's a lot of uphill there, though, too, right? I mean, it's like you kind of go down the hill.
It's uphill, yeah.
Uphill when you come back, no?
It depends which side. No, it's always going to be uphill.
Start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends where you start, because if you start on Mulholland up there, then you go down.
Right, yeah. We start on our side of the hill.
In Hollywood.
Yeah.
I see, okay. Yeah, well, people who don't live here don't know what we're talking about.
No, not at all.
So this is cool. Next week we're going to take off. Well, we'll be here Monday, but the rest of the week we'll be off for a much needed break, and that will be nice.
Sure.
So
can't wait.
I'm getting ready for that.
Looking forward to hearing about your trip.
I know. Well, don't look for that much excitement, Jen. You know me. You know, I mean, it's not like I go into extreme sports or anything.
No, but you can share your experience.
No, that's true. You know, but I'm going mainly to be with people and to change my environment a little bit.
Right.
And to that end, I think I'm doing the right thing. So I'm looking forward to that. Some time alone driving between the airport and there. So a couple hours each way. So, yeah, that'll give me some time to actually think, reflect. You know, we had a stop smoking expert here the other day, for those of you who missed it. And he really got me thinking about how I need to quit.
Did he? Because I saw you smoking a cigarette before
we
came in.
No, you did. Yeah, because I haven't made the decision yet, Jen.
Yes.
But once I'm committed to it, I'm going to do it. You know, that's just me.
I mean, it's like a diet. It's the same story with everything people want to start or stop.
Right. And you keep putting it off and stuff.
Right. You got to just do it.
Right.
It's like a Band-Aid. Just do it.
Right. I'm giving myself an excuse and I'm saying, well, I want to see him first. You know?
Right, of course.
I'll see him for 2-3 days. And because I was listening to the show again, and he makes a lot of sense. You know, I think once you think about it, you realize what a hold it has on your life.
I mean, it's pretty logical. That's what he was saying. Like, there's lots of logic based in this. Like, do you want to inhale insecticides or do you not want to?
Right. But you got to remember also with addiction, all this logic and stuff doesn't really work, you know, because people know they're hurting themselves and they're still doing it.
Right.
So that's what I need to find out from him. You know, it's like what, you know, how exactly... Yeah, you go about it, you know. But I think And from experience, from having quit before, is that you have to look at yourself as a different person. You have to say, I'm a healthy person. Cigarettes are not compatible with my lifestyle. And really change your life. And that's the hard part about it. You have to change your life.
Right. And it's also, I think, a need. Like, you don't actually need that cigarette.
Right. That's what he was saying.
Your life will go on without that cigarette. Right. Your day will go on as it was. Like, you will probably have more time in your day. You'd have more money in your wallet.
Right.
Your health would probably extend a couple of years. Who knows?
Yeah. Those were all great benefits.
You can date freely. I mean, listen, if I know a guy smokes cigarettes.
Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, I always say that I'm a non-smoker. And but it never got to the point where I had to reveal that I'm actually a smoker, you know.
Why would you want to lie to anybody?
It would be like the first or second. No, because I figured, you know, if I get into a meaningful relationship, I'll quit.
Don't you want to be in a meaningful relationship with yourself first?
No, I do.
You can't lie to yourself. You're a smoker.
No, that's true. That's true, you know. But I'm not going to sit there and put up there a smoker on a dating site because
what he was saying the other day. You have to quit for you, not for someone else.
Right, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
But you're saying the opposite.
I'm not saying the opposite.
Because you're saying that you're going to become the non-smoker you claim you are if you get into a meaningful relationship versus doing it for yourself first and other things fall into place.
I just meant like when in the context of relationships, I don't mean that that would be the only way I would do it, you know. And I would, I'm just saying that this would maybe give me an encouragement, you know. And
well, that's the whole point. You're not supposed to need it because of something else. You're supposed to need it because of you.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, I do. I do.
It's like
need
the same
that.
Thing about dieting. Like, am I going to diet because I have something coming up, or should I just always eat healthy?
Right.
I should probably always just eat healthy.
True. That makes sense. Right. You know. But yeah, I don't even kid myself to think I'm going to find anybody who will take a smoker unless they are, and there are not that many out there. And besides, I don't know that I'd want to be with a smoker and all that stuff, because some smokers are worse than I am. And, you know, we were talking all about that, people smoking indoors and all that. So.
Right. I mean, at this point, I don't want anyone with addictions.
Yeah.
Can I just rule all that out?
Yeah, you can do that.
Because I think here's the thing.
But
about
how will you know?
I'll figure it out. There's time. So. Yeah. I think the thing about addictions, for me at least, is that you don't have control over yourself. And I don't want to be with anybody that doesn't have control over themselves or that can make decisions based on, like, us together because they have this strong urge to do whatever it is. Let's say it's gambling, drinking, smoking, drugs, whatever it is. I don't even care if you're a shopaholic. Yeah. Like, if you don't have a sense of responsibility for yourself and also the other person in your relationship, like, where's that going to go? Then you have kids, then you have the whole thing, and it's like, well, but they've got this addiction.
No, absolutely.
I don't want anybody that can blame anything on anybody else but themselves.
Right. So. No, it's a weakness. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I have to admit it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's because we take it for granted, you know, and I think it starts innocently enough. As young kids and stuff, you
what
want
does
to be
smoking
cool.
or addictions?
Yeah, smoking.
Okay.
Yeah, going back to smoking is because I mean, when I was 13, 14, all my friends smoked. We came from an environment and a time when it was okay to do, and then it kind of stays with you, you know. But I do have to agree that you have to finally be aware of it and kick it, you know, because it doesn't fit the lifestyle anymore.
Right. You know, I also find it very attractive that anybody can overcome anything.
Right.
So, like, whatever your transformation might be from, you know, fat to thin or healthy lifestyle, unhealthy lifestyle to healthy lifestyle or smoking to non-smoking, drinking to non-drinking, whatever it is. I think that's also a great success story and a way to show, let's say in the relationship sense, somebody that can take a hold of an issue.
Right.
That's a problem solver that can get you out of harm's way. Like, to me, that means like, okay, if anything comes up, that person's going to be able to fix it.
Right.
Let's say we're in poverty 1 year. They're going to take me to success the next year.
Yeah.
Or there's a fire in our home. They're going to put out that fire. You know, like I think that shows strength.
Yeah.
And you want somebody that's
strong. No, that's true. And I mean, then you think in long term, which makes sense. You know, I mean.
Well, I'm 30 like now, so.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have a long life with that guy. You want to make sure that.
Right.
Yeah. That he's perfect.
I wouldn't say perfect, but perfect for me because he's got these qualities.
Right.
Somebody might want a smoker, somebody with heavy addictions. That might be their jam. Yeah. Maybe they want to be a fixer-upper. I don't want to fix anybody. I want them to already come fixed.
Right.
Or without issues of that nature.
Yeah. That's a big request because everybody's got their own baggage, you know?
Yeah.
But you just have to, you're right, maybe somebody who knows how to deal with their baggage, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, what can he do? What can he say? In a few minutes, we're going to have guests calling in. We're going to talk about relationships, which we like to talk about here and on the show. And they're even talking about sexual healing for couples. And I guess some people do need that. So we'll talk to them about that. They have a couple books that they published. So that would be very, very interesting. So yesterday we missed talking about the debate because we weren't here. And I would imagine you watched part of it, Jen?
I did. I watched probably like an hour and 15 minutes of it.
Yeah, but me too, like sort of sporadically, because sometimes it was really getting like irritating, you know? I mean, the I felt there were, you know, I don't know.
That it was the most annoying thing ever.
Well, some of them were annoying to me, but I got to say that if nothing else, this made me realize I'm not going to make a decision for a while. I really want to see what each one can do in the long run, you know?
Yeah, me too.
In the long haul. And so at this point, we're just still being introduced to them, playing childish games and stuff, you know. And
it kills me. I can't really stand like the back and forth insulting each other. And I mean, I was tweeting like the whole beginning part.
Really?
And I was, you know, posting about it. And it's just infuriating because somebody like me that's actually watching to learn, because I don't necessarily, you know, have a party affiliation and I don't know that much about these, like, however many 11 candidates or whatever they are. But I want to learn, and I can't learn when you're insulting each other.
Right, exactly. And you go, I mean, this is like you're in front of like millions of people.
Also, I can't really deal with the placement of the plane behind them. There are so many tragedies that have happened in planes and around planes and our national security because of planes.
Right.
And the missing planes and the whole planes thing that, like, if you're going to really stand in front of Air Force One, I'm going to need you to sound presidential.
That's true. It does put them in context.
Yeah. Instead, they're talking about, oh, your face is beautiful, and, well, I'm married for 20 years. I don't care if you've been married for 20 years. I want you to solve the problems of our country and, also the world.
Absolutely. And that's what I think. I think a lot of this masks the issues, which is really the important thing here. You know?
Right.
So I have to agree with you, you know. And they were picking on Trump. I mean, that was clear.
And his facial, expressions during the whole thing killed me.
Yeah. They actually made like a video of his facial expressions.
I know. And I commented on it too in the beginning of the debate. And then all of a sudden there was like a whole phenomenon on social media. It was like hashtag Trump faces. And it was just too much. And also like the back and forth between him and Carly Fiorina about like, then they coined it Lady in the Trump instead of Lady in the Tramp.
Oh, really? They did? Wow.
It just wasn't, it felt like so amateur hour.
Yeah.
And these are the people that are supposed to be our presidents. There are people that I think did well. I mean, who do you think stood out?
Well, I think Fiorina did. I think Ted Cruz did.
I mean, at this point, Tom Cruise might as well run too.
Yeah, exactly. Those were the ones that interested me. I think Rubio is still, I think he's still too young. At least he looks young to me to be president.
But you know what? I love him.
You like his platform?
Yeah. I don't know that I need him to be the president in 2016, maybe 2020, because I guess he's young and a first-term senator. But something about him, the fact that he is very like staunch in whatever he's saying, he's eloquent, he doesn't back down. He's right about the things he's saying. He's got solutions and ways to accomplish things. I'm into him.
Yeah. Good, good. I mean,
maybe so I just have a crush on him. I don't know, but I can't tell yet.
So it's anybody's guess, you know. I mean, we still don't know. And no, I mean, there's a few people that actually posted positive things about him. So, you know, he must have touched some people.
He did.
To me, he seems reasonable. I mean, I liked him at the Republican convention 4 years ago, 3 years ago. I was impressed by him back then. But I think Ted Cruz is being overlooked. I think he's got quite a message. At least It rings with me. So, but at any rate, let's go ahead and go to our guests now. And I see we're having a call from Northern California. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
Hi, Sam.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
You see, I recognize.
Hello. Hi, Jen.
I recognize the area code, man. I used to. I know every area code.
There is. Where are we then?
You're in San Francisco, right?
Close. We're in San Rafael.
Okay, well,
15 it's 15 minutes north.
Yeah, the same area code, though. So,
yes, sir.
So welcome to the show. We have the two of you on the line, right?
Yes, you do. Yes.
Okay.
Hi there.
So, go ahead and introduce yourselves to us.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Joe, and over there is Molly, and we are authors. And we are lovers and best friends.
Wow.
We have a hell of a good time together.
It sounds like it. I mean, if you're able to work together and write books together, that's pretty good. You know, I think it shows that at least you can get along for a while and maybe even enjoy it, you know.
So, we've gotten along for a little while.
Yeah.
Please don't ever break up. Don't ever break up because it'll break my heart. I like your story so far.
Yeah, it would break our hearts too.
Yeah.
So what's the story? I mean, what? So tell us about your story. How did you guys, and when did you guys meet?
Wow. Well, we met about 13 years ago, and it was on one of our favorite dating sites.
Oh, which one is that?
A little facetious. We met on Craigslist.
Really?
Whoa. But you can get anything on Craigslist.
Yeah, obviously, you know. But that's the thing, is that if you can find a husband there or a lover, that's great, you know. So
Yes.
Yeah.
And
especially
we can vouch for it.
Yeah.
You know, and I particularly loved Craigslist because there weren't any boxes to fill out. And these days, you know, we talk to a lot of people who are online dating, and my goodness, the amount of information that apparently you must provide in order for somebody to know if they like you. For instance, on some of the dating sites, you have to give your height or you have to tell them your eye color.
Right.
So,
yeah, height's a big one for me. I'm not going to lie. If you don't put your height, I don't know if I'm going to go out with you.
Yeah. Everybody's got their laundry list, you know, of things they want, you know. But go ahead.
We try to tell people to keep that laundry list as short as possible.
Right. Now, tell us why that is. Is that I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, but the thing is, I guess when you have high expectations of someone, and we've talked about this too, about online dating and so forth, that you like pre-qualify everybody, and pretty much nobody really comes to what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
We would have never met. You know, one of the things that I, at that time, that I would have put on a dating profile is that I want somebody who has a college education. And and I met one of the most intelligent people I've ever met,
right,
who he just didn't happen to go to college. So I would have missed out entirely on this relationship.
That's true.
And I have one, too. If I'd had to check a box about physical appearance, I would have said no redheads.
Now we know so much about both of you.
Now I look at redheads in an entirely different way. It's great.
So what are some of the things people should actually look for then?
Wow. I think the number one, honestly, is look for somebody who's passionate about life, who's willing to have a good time, you know, doing this thing we call living in relationships. That's been one of the most successful little tips we've given people, that they've come back and said, I found somebody like that. This is really great.
Yeah.
It's such a better thing to base your relationship on than somebody's height or whether you have common interests. I mean, the thing about getting together with someone who's passionate about life is there's somebody who are going to be willing to explore your interests no matter what they are.
That's true. But isn't it true that almost everybody tries to sort of convey that, you know, I'm like, I love life, I'm full of this, I'm full of that, and because
but not everybody really is,
but they expect people, they think maybe that's what people expect to find, and, you know, to try and improve their chances there.
Right? Yes.
Yes. Yes, they commit fraud.
I think it can be off-putting, right, if you read that somebody is into hiking and into biking and into walking and this huge list, you're like, oh, my God, I can't keep up with this person.
Right,
when
exactly.
You actually go talk to that person, they say, well, you know, I hike a couple times a year. And I go.
I was on
bike
my bike last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen a bike.
Over-qualifying yourself can, again, cut you out of some possibilities.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, but I guess back then it was different as far as dating sites and so forth. So let's say so you guys met, it clicked for you and everything. And were you living in close proximity to each other? I mean, were you in the same city, the same area, or did you, one of you have to move? Go ahead.
Yeah, we were 42 miles away from each other, and we made that commute back and forth for
about 7 years.
7 years.
Wow.
It was actually really wonderful because we pretty much only got together on weekends, and it gave me time to really enter this relationship in a more conscious way than I'd done in the past, because so often when you're just thrown together and you're together all the time, all your stuff comes up and you can't sort it all out too quickly. So this was really, it was a great time for us to, I had this feeling like if I ever get the opportunity to live with this man full time, I'm going to be ready because I will have worked through whatever kind of stuff might come up between us and know I can handle myself in a really high way.
Right. And you'd hope that in 7 years you'd figure it out, you know.
Some people don't figure it out in 70.
But no, I mean, but that's dedication, you know. I mean, when you keep seeing yourself, seeing each other, you know, from a distance over the weekend and so forth. I mean, I can see the excitement in that, you know, like anticipation.
Yeah. Builds all week.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But then, so then the question becomes, when you guys do move in together, is it difficult?
No, not at all. Because, you know, as Molly was saying, you know, she felt like she had this work to do before she was ready to move in with me. And, you know, once she had that time to do it, when we moved in together, it was great.
Right. Just, so now you don't mind being with each other a lot.
7 days.
No, not at all. We're excited about the same things. And, you know, when you have a partner that you're excited about life with, you know, and you guys have a mission together, which we do, you know, then it's always exciting.
Yeah, I think having that, what we call a shared context, a reason for being together, you know, some people have an explicit one, like we want to raise really intelligent children, or we want to do this particular good in the world. That really brings people together in a very connected way, that they have a purpose together.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So now let's get to your books. You guys have written a couple of books, at least that I know of. Your original book was The Soulmate Experience.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships. When did you guys publish the book?
We published it in 2011, and we had been working on it for 4 years.
Wow.
At that point.
Yeah.
So in relationship for 4 years, we recognized we had this incredible connection, and then we decided to put it in a book, and then we spent the next 4 years, you know, working on it. And I mean working on it. It was, you know, day and night and weekends. And,
wow.
I think one of the most important things we discovered through that process was the answer to this question of what do you do to keep a relationship fabulous? And at the very end of writing that, we looked at each other and realized what you do is you continually explore what makes your relationship fabulous. We happen to do it through writing a book, but there's many ways to do that. It's like when you're first together, you have your attention on that a lot, and then the details of daily life tend to take over. But if you can keep some attention on that together in terms of continually exploring it, keeping it new, creative energy in there, it's a wonderfully connected thing.
Yeah, and that's why after 13 years, we're still excited to be around each other.
Yeah.
Because we know that, you know, it's going to be probably more fun with each other than it would be out in the world by ourselves. So.
Right. That makes sense, you know. Now, tell us the soulmate experience. What does that mean?
And do you really believe in soulmates? Is that what you guys are?
Well, yes, we do believe in soulmates, and yet we differ from a lot of people in that we don't just believe that there's one soulmate for everybody. And that's why we titled our book The Soulmate Experience, right? Because you have that soulmate quality relationship with, you know, many people in your life, right? And sometimes it's a short-term thing, you know, and you might have a soulmate kind of connection with your children, with your parents.
That's true.
So, you know, we wanted to try to keep it open, that it's more about the experience that you have as a soulmate with somebody else.
And that you can create,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, I've been studying spirituality, you know, since I was probably 8 years old, and I truly believe that, you know, that day in the future when we're all enlightened, we'll all recognize that we're soulmates with everyone.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
more a matter with who we can feel it stronger with.
Yeah. So you're saying, I mean, there can obviously be more than one soulmate. It's not like you have to wait your entire life for the one.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a dangerous proposition, right? There's,
right.
what, 7 billion people in the world.
Right.
If you're waiting for that one,
yikes.
You know. It may not come in this lifetime.
Exactly.
You know, my husband is one of my soulmates for sure. And he and I are very close. We had a daughter together, and we're very, very close. We spent last evening together going to one of her school events. She's a senior in high school. And the three of us are incredibly close, and we definitely call each other soulmates. It's just that our paths diverged at some point.
Yeah.
So what is your definition of soulmate?
Yeah, how do you know somebody is one?
I think I wouldn't have to ask the question if I felt that connection.
I
wouldn't ask the question, is this a soulmate of mine?
Right.
But for me, it's this feeling of possibility on every level. Like we can explore physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. It's that ultimate connection.
And still stay connected through all of it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
no matter how sort of edgy or scary the topic is.
Right. But I would imagine, I mean, I just want to keep the record straight that it's probably not like 100% all roses. I mean, I imagine sometimes you guys do have friction, right? Like every other couple?
Well, Sam, you know, I hate to burst your bubble, but we have, in 13 years, we have never had a fight,
wow.
never had an argument.
I tried to once, and he laughed at me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you attribute that to your good communication skills, or what keeps you from fighting?
I think it's just we're receptive to each other and how we show up at that time. You know, we're very, very accepting of each other. And we don't really, you know, there's no real conflict about, you know, so many things that people have conflicts over.
Because if there's differences, I think we approach it in such an unusual way that there's something to be learned here. There's something we can come together and find something even better than either of these two ideas. And we always have that sort of big picture approach to it.
Right.
So when anything shows up, you just apply that big picture approach, and, you know, there's never any dissension or upset.
It's how we got to something. In our first book, there's a chapter called Transforming the Energy of Jealousy. It's that idea of taking what could be, you know, something that we might view as negative and saying, no, what can we do with this? What can we do with this that's positive, that contributes to us?
Right.
Yeah, but, great chapter.
But do you guys actually have to sit down and say, okay, let's work this out, you know, we don't need to fight? Or does it just happen naturally where you guys are just on the same frequency?
It just happens naturally. We don't
really?
Think we've ever had to sit down and say, you know, can
wow.
we work this out?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't always agree on everything,
right.
but we're so accepting of the other person that we always find a way that, you know, whatever we decide, it feels like it's a joint decision, that it's going to be best for both of us.
Right.
I mean, it
yeah.
sounds like the same principle as unconditional love. Like, if you already know that you love each other and, like, you want the same things, you come from it from that perspective.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then not allowing yourself to get your vision to be clouded by, you know, your momentary reaction, your reaction in the moment. Like, you know, we have these small ideas about, oh, they should do it this way and my way is best and all that stuff. But it's like stepping beyond that and seeing that you're doing that and acknowledging to yourself, especially if not to your partner, that, wow, okay, I'm really trying to rein you in with my ideas here and not acting on those small thoughts.
Right.
How does this work, though, with people that are not self-aware?
It takes self-awareness as the first step.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing we'd be talking about is, you know, watching how you are in relationship. It's a huge step.
Yeah, and not always fun for people to do, when, especially when they start to see how they are in relationship, but it's so valuable.
Right.
Right? You never get any change otherwise.
Makes sense. Now, so now you have a new release, a new book called The Soulmate Lover, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex, and Intimacy. Tell us a little bit about this book.
Okay, well, in the writing of the first book, The Soulmate Experience, we were coming towards the end of it, and we have this big reading group. I don't know, how many people is it, Molly? It's
like 50 people who review all our chapters as we go through.
And they're totally honest, brutally honest sometimes. And they just weren't getting past this last chapter of ours. And we kept rewriting it and giving it back to them.
The chapter on sexuality.
Yeah, they were rejected. Mm. And then finally we came to this point where we realized, you know, this is not a chapter. This is a book. It just doesn't fit in this first book.
Yeah.
And that's what led to the start of the second book.
Wow.
So with topics like, you know, sexual healing is one of my favorites, and we were writing about three paragraphs on it and trying to pass it off, and when we really realized, wow, this is a whole chapter. You really have to give people a lot of examples how you can use sexual healing in your own relationship in a very practical way.
Right.
Yeah, because we are all about practical.
Yeah. So what is sexual healing? I mean, I think sex is very healing, but what do you mean here? You know, I mean, is this like more like an emotional thing, a spiritual thing?
And how does it differ from manipulation? Because don't people sometimes use sex as manipulation?
Good question there, Jen.
Thanks.
You know, when we were involved in the writing of the first book, I overheard somebody say she'd just come back from 3 years studying how to be a sexual healer. And she said, this is the only guy on the planet who can teach you how to be a sexual healer. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to write something about this, because it's something I've done naturally all my life. I mean, almost everybody has areas of body shame or things that happen to them that affect their ability to be really open sexually, ways in which they feel like they're not enough. And all those things, you know, in the space of a safe relationship with a loving partner can be really opened up, and we can heal from things like, you know, an idea I might have had, that I did have when I met Joe, was that my breasts were too small. You know, and that's not uncommon in this society to grow up thinking this.
Yeah.
Especially with my father. So, you know, Joe spent quite a number of sessions and times showing me that that just wasn't true, and getting me to see my body through his eyes instead of through the ones that I'd always looked at it through.
And we did it with photography, you know, and we took pictures of her and you know, both dressed in sexy outfits, undressed, you know, any way I could show her that her breasts were perfect.
Wow, yeah.
We called it, was it Molly's Breast Appreciation Day?
Well, it was like a week.
A week.
And honest to God, I have never looked at them the way that I did all those years thinking I was insufficient. I have never seen it like that again since we did that exercise probably, gosh, 8 years ago.
Right.
And I can tell you, Sam and Jen, that if you do this with your partner and it's successful, that your partner will be so grateful to you.
Yeah.
You know, and it opens up this this communication and this ease with each other, you know, because you know that anything that comes up, you'll be able to work with.
Yeah.
You've got somebody there who can, you know, who can work with you on it.
How does that fit in, though, with the principle that you should sort of love yourself already and not rely on somebody else to make you feel good?
You know, I believe that to some extent, but this idea of being able to have this connection with someone who can help you take that next step, sometimes, you know, we can work on it for years, and there's no doubt that there's many, 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 many ways to approach coming more into a place of self-love and self-appreciation, but sometimes there's things that are so deep. This is a good example. You know, my father for 30 years gave me this message that my breasts weren't big enough. You know, we'd sit and watch the Miss America pageant, and I remember him commenting on the women walking across the stage, and he would always pick out the biggest-breasted one and say, she should win.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that conditioning goes deep.
I can
and
imagine.
And to have somebody go in there with you and pull that stuff out and heal that stuff, is just, it's like a fast track to self-love.
And it's not something I have to do anymore, right? It's I helped her get past that, and now she loves her breasts, and it's great. It's so much better to make love to a woman or a man who is happy about their body, right?
Absolutely.
Otherwise, she'd be sort of trying to get out of the way, trying to, like, shift so that I couldn't touch her breasts, you know? It's just no fun at all.
Keep it dark and not take all her clothes off and stuff, We've all been there, I think, you know. But the thing is, it just shows you how our parents really can mess us up, you know. But you have to rise above that, you know, and understand, you know. I mean, once you're old enough to understand, you need to understand that not everybody views you in the same way, you know. And it's true in what you were saying, you know, because, you know, often I'm critical of myself and everything, and people will compliment those things that I'm critical about. And it's like, how is that possible?
And do you take that in?
I
mean,
right.
Jen, that kind of addresses your question, too, is part of self-love is being able to accept these things from others. Like if somebody compliments us, to take a moment and say, wow, thank you for seeing that in me. I'm going to really try to see that in myself. So we can get help from people all the time on our journey to self-love, from books, from seminars, from friends.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, and that's why I think people should really, you know, I mean, I think that's what I picture when I think of a soulmate experience. You know, it's like people that accommodate each other, they understand each other, they make each other feel good about themselves. And I think that's what it comes down to, you know, and your relationship is very inspiring.
But I have a question about that because, you know, you're talking more about like once the relationship has started and then you become soulmates or you know, you treat each other a certain way. But what about when you first meet? Because, I mean, a connection can be described by many people as different things. So, like, for me, I've been having, like, these really strong connections with people lately, and I don't know if it's because I'm more present or I'm actually just attracting people in a certain way. Or maybe they don't even feel that same way and they don't have that connection at all, and I'm, like, imagining it. I don't know. But how do you get past the point of, like, a connection to seeing that it's a soulmate? Or being mutual. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't really know what my question is.
Well, I would do something called following the connection, which is exactly what you're talking about. When you have that experience, honestly, I trust it. Even if that person turns out not to be able to take that connection experience as deeply as I can, I think that you learn something from the more open you are and the more you're feeling that. There's no doubt in my mind that you are opening up to the connection that's already there and you're able to feel it more, and that you're going to step into, you know, that idea that you attract somebody. I think that it's not a woo-woo concept. It's that people can feel each other's openness to that kind of deep connection.
Yeah. Very interesting. So give us a website where people can find out more information about you guys. Other than the books, do you provide any, like, services, coaching, things like that to people?
We do coach people, absolutely.
Okay.
And you can find out more and as well as download a couple of free chapters from each book at thesoulmateexperience.com.
Okay.
And we would invite your listeners to come be part of our community on Facebook, The Soulmate Experience.
Sounds good.
And we also have a brand new YouTube channel called Molly and Joe. It's MALI. And JOE, and we're going to put out about a couple of hundred videos on short topics of dealing with, you know, challenges in relationships or dating or all of that, all of those kinds of things, and self-love. That's always a big one.
Yeah,
and they're going to be great.
Yeah,
we're really having a lot of fun with them, and
awesome.
Coming out great.
Great. Well, Molly Apple, right, and Joe Dunn, and.
Yes.
The book is The Soulmate Experience, and the newer book is The Soulmate Lover. And so can people find this on your website?
Oh, yes. They're sold anywhere. Books are
anywhere.
Sold as
okay,
well.
Great. So Amazon and all the other, the usual suspects.
Yes.
And cool. Well, thank you so much for calling in, guys. I mean, this is fascinating. You guys are an inspiring couple, and we wish you nothing but more happiness and the best.
Well, thanks. I think we're ready to go and take that on, Sam.
And, and we wish you the same as well. You guys are fabulous.
Yeah,
thank you
very
much. So are you.
Yeah, just wish upon us that we find our soulmates. And
yeah.
Okay. You will. Just open up.
Yeah. All right. Well, all the best to you guys, and thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Much love.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I could have talked to them all morning.
Me too.
Right?
I have 17,000 questions.
Really?
And I'd like to ask them specifically, like, about each person.
Okay.
Like, okay, what does it mean when you have the best date ever and you connect on so many levels and you, like, don't want to say goodbye, and then you, like, see each other a couple days later, you, like, maybe do yoga together, and then the person just completely drops off, and then they leave town, and you're like, okay, well, what do I do with that information?
Right.
Like, so we had a great time, I guess, and it just, like, is a good example of a good date and how you can open and connect with somebody and have great conversation, but then it's, you know, they leave because they don't live here, and then they're gone forever, but it's like, was that something? Was that just an example of what something great could be? Like, what about if somebody doesn't live where you live?
Right. Well, maybe it depends on what you want to make out of it, you know? I mean, some people will move, you know, so they can connect on that level if they're not, you know.
Right.
So what do you do? Well, I guess it depends on what you want to do.
Because careers are also super important. Like, I'm not moving for anybody right now.
Right. So there you go. So there's your answer. You know, you can't – that relationship is not possible unless he would move here.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many, like, circumstances where I've seen people do long distance and make it work. I don't know how. But, like, my cousin and his wife, for instance, started as – co-workers for a company, but they each worked in different sides of the country. So one worked in California, one worked in New York. They met because they both had to travel for work to the opposite place. And because of their company, they were able to make trips to each other regularly because it would be on the company's dime.
Right.
So that's how they made long distance work. But I don't know how anybody else does it.
Yeah, I know.
Not cheap to fly across country.
No, it's not. Plus, how often did they see each other?
Once a month,
yeah.
For, like, several days each time.
Yeah. You see, that's tough. I don't think I could go with that. I mean, I had a relationship just like that, and it was frustrating to me because many times you want to – I mean, if you have a strong connection, you want to be next to that person. You want to be with them, not on the phone, you know?
I mean, I could see how you can make it work on the phone and, like, doing all of that. It just takes a lot of work. It takes more work, and I actually think it probably makes you a stronger couple because you're forced to communicate.
Yeah.
And then when you do see each other, you're so excited and it's like a vacation and it's like a fairy tale each time. But you have to have an end game at some point.
Right.
Somebody's got to move.
No, absolutely. You know, but it's like, what do? You know, I mean, you just saw each other. You go back and then, you know, you want to, like, get intimate with your partner or something. You can't because they're not there. You know, and I found it frustrating because I'd say, okay, well, I feel like going out and doing this, but she's not here. So what am I going to do? You know,
right?
So and you want to stay monogamous, you know, for the sake of the relationship.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, but I mean, I respect people that can make it work. But you're right; it can't go on forever like that.
Right. I mean, I know I can make it work for a certain point in time because I've done long distance before. But, I mean, after, I think, a year, we did long distance and we'd see each other once a month because he was also a travel agent. So this is my ex-boyfriend from, like, 8 years ago. He was a travel agent, so he could fly me to him or him to me, and it would just work out. It was me in L.A. and him in Miami. And at some point, like, a year in, he was like, well, you should move home. Let's get engaged. And I'm like, I'm going to stay here. Cool. Love you. Gotta go.
Whoa.
I mean, it was hard. Yeah. I don't mean to, like, trivialize it, but, like, I wasn't moving. And I didn't want him to move to LA for me because that would be uprooting his whole life. Unless he had a reason to go to LA in addition to me.
Right.
It was too much pressure on 22-year-old
exactly.
Jen.
It is a lot of pressure if you have to be the guide and, you know, the host almost. And,
right.
You know, where... It's like they rely on you for everything.
22-year-old Jen couldn't handle it. 30-year-old Jen probably could.
Yeah. See, I had that happen to me when I came from South Africa to here. Back, I had a girlfriend, and I wanted to come back to be with my kids and everything. And she insisted on coming too, and I didn't really want her to because I felt I just needed all the time to devote to my kids.
Yeah.
But she insisted on coming. I said, okay, you know, so she came here later. And what happened was, is that she became dependent on me for everything. And I knew it would happen.
Ugh.
You know, and it's just, it's like almost everything up to you, you know. It's
right.
Like, I can't drive there because I don't know how to get there.
No.
I can't do this because, you know.
All of this is painful to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I guess,
so
being
I
depended on
you.
In general.
Yeah.
Like, I.
It's too much responsibility.
It's so much.
It's a lot of weight on you, you know?
If somebody's going to move for you, they have to either have, like, set up their own career, they have to make their own friends, they have to do their job of starting their own life.
Yeah.
Coinciding with your life.
Right. You need to have separate lives, you know?
Right.
You really do.
Well, we agree on that.
Yeah.
I also just don't know how anybody finds a soulmate, you know, with all the online dating stuff. Because you could have, like, 10 good dates. Everybody's right. Great. But then they're also dating 10 other people. I guess that's when the stars really do align. It's when, out of all of the clutter, you do find that one person that you, like, really connect with. And
yeah.
Then that's when you can say, hey, that must be a soulmate. Because out
right.
of
then
all
you both
the fish.
Connect on the same level.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but it has happened to me a couple times in life when I felt that, you know.
I've had a couple moments lately in the past, like, couple of months where I'm like, whoa,
really?
Hello.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe it means you're getting closer and closer.
Probably.
You know? Yeah.
I don't know what it means. Maybe I'm just friendly. I don't know. But yeah, I do think I'm getting closer.
Yeah, good, good.
I'm also very clear about what I want and don't want.
Yeah.
Less the height thing. I'm moving past that. Remember, I didn't used to even notice blonde people or bald men. Now the whole world is changing.
Well, that's true.
Now it's completely, like, personality based.
Yeah. Except, well, it's personality based after you meet them.
Right.
Right.
See, and I'm such a, like, a chemistry person.
Right.
I don't know how just online, I mean, really, online dating is like fishing and hope, like sending a lot back into the water.
Right.
Because, and I don't have a lot of time for that. I really don't. I'm busy.
Right.
But meeting in person, I think, is the way to go for me.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I mean, for me, the same way. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, when you qualify a person based on a list, it's never going to work. You know, I mean, because look how many unlikely couples you have out there, you know, who have really connected and hit it off. It's people you wouldn't think would hit it off together,
right.
Or things like that, you know, people that are very different, you know, different backgrounds, different ages. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a sucker for a charming guy. And so I think that that's probably the worst thing in the world, because the charming guy knows they're charming and they use that. That's, I think, a form of manipulation.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, I don't think they all would use it like that.
Maybe. I don't know. Because charm comes with confidence.
Right.
They go together.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
And I mean, I'm attracted to confidence. But then I don't
right.
know. That's,
well, what you don't want is overconfidence, I think. Excessive
probably.
Confidence. Yeah. You know, where they're like, yeah, if they know it and they use it against you, that's excessive.
Well, I don't want them. I want them to charm me, not everybody. And
right.
I feel like sometimes people just, like, strength in numbers. They want everyone to like them, so they'll charm everyone.
Right.
I want, like, yeah. In the good old days where, like, a guy would come up to a girl and be like, you, I need to talk to you. Something about you personally is, like, my jam. Like, now I just feel like people are just, they strength in numbers. They want fans. It's
right.
Like an Instagram game. They want everyone to like their photos, so they want everyone to like them.
Right. But, you know, I mean, but that approach would be, like, you know, I would think, what would I think? You were talking about approaching someone and walking up to them. I would think if I came and said, I want to talk to you, and I've got to talk to you, whatever, it would seem like she would say, why? You don't even know me.
Because that's, you know, when the whole soulmate thing comes into play and you're, like, drawn to the person. I've been drawn to somebody before.
But what if they're not drawn
to you?
And
it's so intense
and
it's weird. It's a thing I just couldn't understand.
But what if they're not drawn to you the same way? At least not right away.
Well,
you
then they can
saying?
Say, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. You see, it's...
But here's the thing.
Take chances, you
if
know?
If you walk up to a woman that's in the right place and wants that,
right.
They will be a sucker for hearing that.
Yeah.
Because they want to feel special, and that will be like a signal to them, like, for whatever reason, you're special.
That's true. But if they're not, then you get rejected, and it's pretty painful.
I know. Men in this rejection, thank goodness.
Well, if you had to be on the receiving end of it, I
well,
think you'd feel the same way.
That's why people like Bumble, because Bumble, the woman has to talk to the guy first. I've had plenty of guys on Bumble, not to say that I like talk to all these people, but in the past when I've talked to people on Bumble, they've been like, yeah, I like Bumble because it takes the rejection away from me because you already write me, so I know you like me.
Right, exactly. And it, since men are usually the pursuers, yeah, I mean, it helps if you know how the other person feels about you. But, yeah, you can't know that for sure. But that just goes to show you how we see things differently when we're men and women. You know, it's like, for you, it's like you would love for someone to say that. For a guy, it would be like, God, that's high risk to say that.
Well, I feel like everyone needs to just be honest, and if they're honest, then that's where, you know, we will find progress. Because if women are actually like, this is what I'd like to hear, men would be like, oh cool, that's all I've got to do, and then they don't have to do the whole song and dance or feel rejection or whatever they're gonna feel. That's like crazy. And I think men are actually way crazier than women if we're gonna be honest, but yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah,
so
that's,
I don't
know. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. Jen, have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Everybody, enjoy your weekends out there, and we'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.